start all over again. Amen. One of the real blessings of serving at the same church for a long period of time is the privilege of watching young people grow up. And through the years, it's been my joy and also my wife, as we've talked about many of the kids we see now, that they start in the preschool department and have grown up at Westside. Of course, we add some along the way too, but that's a real treat. I hope you notice that, and this really fits in with the context of my sermon today, is that our church has a real high regard for the Word of God. Last Sunday, if you were here when we celebrated Mother's Day and we had the baby dedication, we give to those young parents a little commemorative New Testament, which is the Word of God, and we give to the dads a book of Bible stories to start reading to those children, which is the Word of God. And when it comes that time, whenever they graduate from preschool over into the grade school, we have another presentation time. And guess what we give them? Yeah, the Bible. And in their bag today, the Bible. We have a high regard for the Word of God. And it's my prayer that not only these young people, but also that all of us will take God's Word and hide it in our hearts, especially in these very crucial days that we're living in right now. Having said that, I want to ask you to take your Bible and turn with me to the little book of 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy, and would you find chapter 4? I've been kind of hanging out here for several weeks now. I think this is week number 4. And just so that you'll know, we'll probably have week number 5 next week. But we have come to one of the great passages in all the Word of God, as Paul the Apostle is writing the last chapter of the Bible that we will read and study. And as I've said many times, a man's last words are important words. And especially if the man is writing under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. And so I've come to 2 Timothy chapter 4. I've been reading the first 5 verses. I'm going to do that again this morning. And this morning, our focus of attention will be on verses 3 and 4. I will say a brief word about the previous 2 verses, and then we'll look at verses 3 and 4. And then next Sunday, which is Memorial Day weekend, which, by the way, in case you don't know it, we are open on Memorial Day weekend. And we want you to be here. And in verse 5, we'll look at that next week. So would you join me in standing, please, as I read from God's Word? I'm in 2 Timothy chapter 4. These are the words of the Apostle Paul to a young preacher by the name of Timothy, and he says this: I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. I said in verse 1 that that is a solemn charge, a command, a commission to him, that I'm saying this in light of the fact that one of these days, that Jesus Christ will judge you. You will stand before him at his coming and his appearing. Verse 2, he said, preach the word. I spent some time there. That is speaking of the Word of God, lifting up your voice and preaching the Bible all the way from Genesis to the Revelation. Be instant in season and out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering. I talked about the scope of the charge. And in that verse, the latter part of verse 2, he says to him to preach the word consistently, preach it convincingly, preach it courageously, but preach it compassionately, but preach the word. And so we come today to verse 3 and verse 4. Listen to what he says. For the time will come. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust they shall heap to themselves teachers having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. Watch therefore in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry. Would you pray with me? Father, thank you today for your word. Thank you, Lord, for the Apostle Paul and his willingness to be used by you and penning these words that we can read even today. And I pray that you will take them today and use them to speak to our hearts. For I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated. Well, I began this passage about the Word of God. That's really the heartbeat of everything that we're reading in these first five verses. It's a very serious thing to be called to preach or to teach the Word of God. It's solemn. And then you come to verses 3 and 4. Today I want to talk to you a little bit about what I call the stimulation for the charge. When Paul said to Timothy, you need to preach the Word, be instant in season and out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering, there was a reason why Paul wanted him to faithfully preach the Word. And if you were asking the question, well, why should he do that? Why should he preach the Word? Verses 3 and 4 answer the question. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but they will heap to themselves teachers having itching ears, and they shall turn away from the truth, the Bible says, and they shall be turned unto fables. So I want to look at this a little bit today, and I want to share three simple things from verses 3 and 4 with you today. But these are crucial. These are important. And so I hope that you will tune in for these moments that I share with you today. First of all, I want to speak to you a little bit about what I call the teachings they will despise. You still have your Bible there. Look at the first part of verse 3. He says, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. And that little phrase is full with all kinds of meanings. First of all, he warns them about a coming time, T-I-M-E. And it translates a little Greek word that describes a season or a period. He's not talking about a specific date on the calendar, but he's saying is that there is a time that's going to come, and you're going to see it, that things are going to change. And he's speaking prophetically. He's speaking about the future. He's talking about a time in his life that is yet to come. I believe those times have come. I believe that we're living in the time that Paul was talking about. Why do I say that? Because this is what he said. He said the time's going to come, and here's how you're going to know that time has come, because he said they will not endure sound doctrine. Now, let's just look at that for a moment. Let me take them backwards in order anyway. That is sound doctrine. What's he talking about? Sound doctrine is talking about there will come a time whenever people will not listen to the truth of the Scripture. Sound doctrine is the teaching of the Scripture. Sound doctrine means the wholesome, healthy teaching of the Bible. I use that terminology because really whenever you read the word sound there, it actually translates a Greek word that gives us our English word hygiene. Hygiene. It's talking about that which is clean. It's talking about that which is healthy. It's talking about that which is sanitary. He says there will come a time when people will not endure sound, clean, sanitary teaching of the Word of God. Now, there's another word that I skipped there that I certainly need to go back to, because whenever Paul was talking about that coming time, he said it's going to be a time when they will not hear the word. Endure sound doctrine. Endure sound doctrine. What does that word mean? Well, the word endure literally means to hold to, or it can mean to put up with, or listen to another word that I'm going to share with you today. The word can mean tolerate. For the time will come when people will not tolerate sound doctrine. Are you hearing what I'm saying today? What is one of the buzzwords that we've heard for the last several years now? It is the word tolerate. We need to be tolerant. And that word has gotten so much play in our world today, but yet here's what Paul is saying. He said there is coming a day whenever people who preach tolerance all the time will not tolerate the Word of God. Now, you missed that, I can tell. But I'm telling you today, that's where we're living today. We're living in a day, you watch the news, you read online, you pick up a newspaper, and you'll find that people today tolerate just about everything, right? Except one thing. The teaching and the preaching of the Word of God. Paul said this is what they will despise. They will despise the teaching and preaching of the Word of God. They will not tolerate what he called sound doctrine. What is sound doctrine? It is doctrine, it is teaching that is based on the Word of God. People will not tolerate what the Bible has to say about the doctrine of creation. Did you know that? They will not tolerate the teaching of creation, that in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. As a matter of fact, he said, there will come a day they will not endure sound doctrine, that we live in a day that they will not endure, they will not tolerate what the Bible teaches about the creation of what people today called races. And I'm of the opinion the Bible does not teach that there are many races. The Bible teaches that there is one race, and that is the human race, and we all came from one big happy family. But the world today doesn't tolerate that, because we want to divide people and talk about racism all the time. They won't understand. There will be a day, he said, they will not tolerate what you want to say about alcohol or what you want to say about drugs. They will not tolerate what the Bible has to say about abortion. You say, well, the Bible doesn't say anything about abortion. Oh, yes, it does. The Bible says that life was created by God, and I'm telling you, from the womb to the tomb, it is absolutely sacred. But we live in a day that will not tolerate sound doctrine. This world will certainly not tolerate what the Word of God has to say about gender identity or about homosexuality. And so what I'm saying today, Paul was looking in the future, and he was saying to us, there's going to come a day whenever people will not put up with good, solid, biblical, Bible preaching. And I'm saying to you today, that's the world that we live in. Some of y'all remember a few years ago, there was a big discussion downtown Jacksonville where they were talking about expanding the human rights in our city and wanted to include homosexual lifestyle as a special protected group. And so there was discussion, there was argument about that. And I remember I was invited to come and be a part of it. And they say things like this and say, by the way, Pastor, you can leave your Bible at home. So what I'm thinking is, okay, so we're wanting to know what's the truth, but yet we're taking the one and only book that speaks the truth, and we're saying leave it at home. I'm going to tell you, that's the world that we live in, folks. Don't take your Bible to a city council meeting. Don't take your Bible to a public school board meeting, because we live in a day where people do not endure sound doctrine. The world today is more willing to put up with murderers and drag queens and homosexuals and feminists and abortionists and drug dealers than they are with Bible-believing preachers and Bible-believing Christians. That's just where we are. And Paul was saying, I'm telling you, Timothy, you need to be ready. Be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long-suffering and doctrine, because the time's going to come when people will not endure sound doctrine. That's the teaching that they will despise. Look at the next part of verse 3. He also tells us the teachers they will desire. He says in the latter part there of verse 3, he says, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. Now, whenever you read that word lust, I mean, you probably know that whenever you read it in the Bible, most of the time it's talking about lusting for something that is what the Bible calls as wrong, or that would be sinful. And so here it describes lust. Actually, the word means a craving. It means a desire. It means a longing for, and it can be good things or bad things, but most of the time it's desiring things that are wrong, and here it certainly fits into that category. So what's he saying? He said they will lust after, he said they will look for preachers who will tell them what they want to hear. They will lust, they will heap unto themselves, he says, teachers having itching ears. Heap unto themselves. What's that mean? They're going to pile up. They're going to pile up teachers that will tell them what they want to hear. And I'm going to tell you, in the world that we live in today, all across this country, even this morning, in pulpits like the one I'm standing behind now, there's a pile of teachers and preachers who are telling people just what they want to hear. So that when the service is over, everybody walks out and everybody feels good. Because that's the idea when he says they will pile up teachers having itching ears. That is, they will want to hear things that will tickle their ears. They will want to hear things that will make them feel good. They will go to hear that preacher who will tell them exotic stories, who will have sensational illustrations, who will give them theological fairy tales. And whenever they finally say amen and everybody goes home, everybody feels good because they went and heard a good ear-tickling sermon on that day. They will fill buildings with people who want nothing more than a good show, a positive sermon, so they feel good when it's all over, and they will hear just a lot of unbiblical nonsense. He said that's what they're going to turn to. That's what they're going to desire. And we're living in that day today whenever our world is full of people like that. And by the way, I actually believe that what's happening in our day, people who are tickling the ears of those who will come and hear them, what they're doing is they're preparing the world for the coming of what the Bible calls, or who the Bible calls, the Antichrist with a capital A. The Antichrist is the one who will come in the latter part of the world, and he will be Satan's man on earth. And let me just tell you this: he'll look good, and he will sound good, and he will have a big crowd. He will be sensational, and he will be believable. And he will come and he will tickle the ears of the people. And what you need to see is happening is whenever you reject sound doctrine, the only thing you have left is unsound doctrine. Sound doctrine that is not biblically true. And so here's what he's saying. He's saying, Timothy, there is coming a day when people will not endure sound doctrine. They will not tolerate Bible teaching. And they will be drawn to in great numbers. And you know this to be true today. I mean, there are auditoriums, arenas that are filled with people who are preaching feel-good sermons and not preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. Look at verse 4. I want to talk about this for just a moment. He also says, not only talking to us about the teachings they will despise and the teachers they will desire, but he also tells us in verse 4, the truth they will deny. He said they will turn away their ears from the truth. The little phrase there, turn away, is a very picturesque word in the Greek language. It's a word that means to be turned aside. It means to be twisted. It is actually it's a medical term that has the idea of being dislocated. It's like somebody takes their head and just turns it quickly so that it becomes dislocated or knocked out of joint. And what Paul says, there's coming a day whenever you despise sound doctrine and you hate to yourself teachers having itching ears, you're going to turn away. You're going to be spiritually dislocated in your life. And he says they will turn unto fables. Fables. You know what fables? It's a Greek word, mythos. Gives us our English word, myth. They will be turned unto myths. Fiction. And again, whenever you turn away from the truth, all you have left is error. And whenever you have error, you have myths. Then you have lies. And so they're turning away. By the way, if you turn away from the truth, hear me, when you turn away from the truth, you can't just live in a vacuum and say, all right, well, we're not going to teach the truth, but we're just going to kind of be neutral. No, you're not going to be neutral. I think that's one of the mistakes the public school system has made today. Back in the 1960s, whenever we did away with Bibles in the schools and prayers in the school, we said we're not going to teach religion. We're not going to teach the Bible. We're going to turn away from the truth. That's what Paul's terminology would be. And so we're just going to kind of be neutral. No, you're not neutral. When you turn away from the truth, what you're turned to is lies. If you're not teaching about God, you're teaching about atheism is what you're teaching. And so he's saying they're going to be turned away from the truth, and they're going to be turned unto fables. They're going to hear all kinds of lies. I want you to hear me today. We got graduating seniors here today. I want you to listen. Unfortunately, the world that you're living in, it's lying to you. The world is lying to you in almost every term. And who's the father of all lies? John chapter 8, verse 44. Listen to this. Jesus said, "You are of your father the devil, and the lust of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of all lies." Satan is a liar. And what he's saying here is that you're gonna see, and when this day comes, whenever people will turn away from the truth, that they're gonna be filling up with lies, and you're gonna hear lie after lie after lie. I think in order to really understand this passage of Scripture, you have to understand the meaning of one little word. And that's the word "they." Do you see it there in the text, verse 3, it says, "They will not endure sound doctrine." The latter part of verse 3, "They will heap to themselves teachers having itching ears." Verse 4 says, "They shall turn away their ears from the truth." So whenever he says "they," who's he talking about? Pay real close attention today. Whenever he says "they," is he talking about the world that we live in, this system that's controlled by so many different people with so many different ideas? When he says "they," is he talking about the outside world? And I think I could answer that by saying yes, he is. Everywhere in the world, I mean, boy, the media lies to you. Did you know that? The media lies to you. Listen to me. The politicians lie to you. Now, I'm not painting them all. I'm not saying everybody. But I'm going to tell you, in the most regard, the politicians are lying to you. Do you understand the commercials on television are lying to you? Do you understand today Hollywood is lying to you? Do you know that ESPN is lying to you? Do you know that corporate America is lying to you? I mean, we're living in a world that is just lying to us all the time. However, listen to me. That's not who Paul's talking about. He's not talking about they're going to lie to you in the world. He's saying they're going to lie to you in the church. He's talking about the church whenever he uses that word "they." I mean, he's writing to Timothy, who is a preacher and a pastor of the church in Ephesus. And he's saying that there's going to come a time, even in the church, where they will not endure sound doctrine. There is going to come a time in the church where they shall heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. There's going to come a time in the church where they shall turn away from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. He's talking about the church. Here's the danger of the world that we're living in. I hope you're listening to me today, because you're going to sometimes be lied to from the pulpit. There will be some places where if you enroll in a Christian college, you can be lied to in a Christian college. There are some times that you can graduate from that Christian college and go off to a seminary, and you can be lied to in a denominational seminary. That's what he's talking about. You say, how does that happen? That's really pretty easy. It probably starts with denying the inerrancy of Scripture. That's where it starts oftentimes. You put a question mark over the Word of God. Is that really the Word of God? Why is that where you start? Because everything you believe is based on the Word of God. I hope, right? And so you can go to a Christian school. You can even a public school, high school. You can go to a Christian college, and they will deny the inerrancy of the Word of God. Then where does that lead you to? Doubting the miracles of the Bible. Moses didn't really part the Red Sea. You've heard this, right? He didn't really part the Red Sea. That whenever he took the children of Israel across the Red Sea, he said it wasn't really like you saw on the Ten Commandments movie, a big body of water. It's actually that they crossed in a spot where the water was only about 6 inches deep. And that's where they crossed over the Red Sea. So it wasn't really crossing the Red Sea like we think. Whenever I hear somebody say that, I think, well, man, that's powerful, because my God drowned all of Pharaoh's army with 6 inches of water. Deny the Word of God, doubt the miracles in the Bible, defy the truth of the Scripture. As a matter of fact, the Bible's always had people who are like that. The Bible has names for them. Sometimes they're called apostates. Sometimes they're called wolves in sheep's clothing. Sometimes Jesus said they're the blind leading the blind. And so he's saying, listen, there is coming a day whenever even in the church that people are going to put a question mark over the Bible. You know that's true. Unless you're living in a cave somewhere, you know that there are denominations today, Christian, listen, mainline Christian denominations who have put a question over the Word of God, and they're arguing over things that the Bible is very clear about. I began this sermon 4 weeks ago by giving my testimony of when God called me to preach. June the 9th, 1968, God called me to preach as a 16-year-old boy. And I will confess to you today that as a 16-year-old boy, I had no idea some of the things that I would have to preach about 50 years later. Or some of it wasn't even 50 years later. I mean, whenever God called me to preach, I never dreamed that I would be preaching a sermon about abortion. That wasn't on my radar. I didn't think about that would be something that I would preach about. But then in 1972, the Supreme Court legalized abortion in America. And you say, Pastor, well, why did you have to preach about that? Well, because the Word of God talks about the sacredness of life. Because Deuteronomy chapter 30, verse 19, God is saying, I'm putting before you life and death. Choose life. That's why I have to preach about that, because I want to preach the Word of God. Listen to me today. I never dreamed that I would have to preach about the consumption of alcohol in a Baptist church. I never thought I'd have to do that. I mean, my pastor and every pastor I'd ever had, it was not even an issue whether or not a believer in Jesus Christ ought to partake of alcohol. I never dreamed that I would have to be preaching about the consumption of alcohol. However, when we live in a world today, whenever there are many sitting in the pew and also even pastors standing behind the pulpit who have tried to take the Scripture and twist it to say that it's all right to consume alcohol, I feel like I need to talk about alcohol. I read over in the book of Proverbs where the wisest man who ever lived, he said, don't look on it whenever it's red in a glass. No, don't look at it when it moves itself about. You know what that means? That means when it's fermented. He didn't say don't drink it. He said don't even look at it. I never dreamed I'd have to preach that about alcohol in our churches today. Whenever we were searching for a youth pastor, and God graciously gave us Jack and his family, I was looking for a youth pastor, and it was hard to find somebody that I felt comfortable with coming leading our youth ministry here at Westside Baptist Church. I talked to a pastor friend in Atlanta. Listen to what he said to me. He said that he had interviewed 9 different prospective youth pastors. All 9 of them are social drinkers. And when I hear that, that's not who I want leading our young people at Westside Baptist Church. One of our families said to me, a mother said to me not long ago, talking about her 2 young adults in her family. This is what she said. She said, the world is not who's tempting my children to drink alcohol. It's the church that's tempting my children to drink alcohol.
people in the church. I never thought I would have to preach about things like that. I never thought I'd have to preach about homosexuality. Never dreamed I would. You say, well, why do you do it? Because Romans chapter 1, verse 27 talks about how it's against nature and how it's not natural. And so, I have to, whenever you live in a society where that which the Bible calls sin has been tolerated and promoted and normalized, accepted and applauded, you have to preach about it. So Paul said, listen. And by the way, many of the things I'm talking to you about today, exactly what I was talking about earlier, that people will not tolerate sound doctrine. They will not tolerate what the Bible has to say. Somebody asked me a question the other day about something that I believed in, and what I believed about an issue, and I said what I believed, and then I had to back up and I say, the reason I believe that is because I believe that's what the Bible teaches. I don't want to ever just talk about things that I believe just because I believe it. This is the authority. This is the Word of God. And that's why Paul was saying to Timothy, preach the Word. The message, which is a paraphrase of Scriptures, says this. This is the same verse I'm preaching to you today, of the same two verses, 3 and 4. Listen to how the message says it. You're going to find out that there will be times when people will not stomach for solid teaching, but will fill up on spiritual junk food, catchy opinions that tickle the fancy. They'll turn their backs on truth and chase mirages. That's the world we're living in. So whenever we come to that day, then what's the preacher to do? I mean, if you're living in a day that has become so liberal, or the word that people like to use, so progressive today, what that means is we are progressing away from the Word of God. He said, whenever we live in that kind of world, what's the preacher supposed to do? Is he supposed to compromise? Is he supposed to tone it down and find a kind of a happy medium where he can compromise with the world and not preach what the Word of God has to say? What's the preacher supposed to do? Is he supposed to is he to avoid the controversial things? Just don't talk about them. Just avoid them? No. Paul said, Timothy, even whenever people come and will not endure sound doctrine, they don't want to hear what you have to say, they want to hear what some other feel-good preacher down the street has to say, you preach the Word, regardless. Be instant, be ready. In season, out of season, when they like it and they don't like it, when it's popular, when it's not popular, when they tolerate, they don't tolerate. You preach the Word. Instant, in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort, with all longsuffering and patience. That's what he called them, all longsuffering and doctrine. Just preach the Word. Let me close with this story. Do you know who gave the commencement address this year at Oklahoma State University? Didn't think so. The commencement address speaker at Oklahoma State University was a guy by the name of Denny Kellington. Now, why Denny Kellington? Well, Denny Kellington, number one, he's a graduate of Oklahoma State University. And it's not unusual, right? Somebody who is maybe a famous or maybe a well-known, rich alumni comes back to the university and gives the commencement address. But I'm talking about Denny Kellington. I mean, his name is not T. Boone Pickens, that some of you may know him, the oil tycoon who gave millions of dollars to his alma mater, Oklahoma State University. I'm not talking about him. I'm not talking about Garth Brooks, who's another name you might know as well, who had done pretty good of making friends in low places, and but I'm not talking about him. I'm talking about Denny Kellington. He grew up in Midwest City. He graduated from Midwest City High School. It was like a suburb of Oklahoma City. And he graduated from Oklahoma State University, and he was asked to give the commencement address to Oklahoma State University in 2023. So what was his job? Denny is an athletic trainer. He's an athletic trainer. He graduated from Oklahoma State. He went and was a trainer for a while at Ohio State. He was a trainer for a while at Syracuse. And finally, he ended up being the athletic trainer for the Buffalo Bills. And on Monday night, January the 2nd of this year, he was standing on the sidelines of a Monday night football game being played between the Buffalo Bills and the Cincinnati Bengals. And a safety from the Buffalo Bills by the name of Damar Hamlin made a vicious tackle, went into cardiac arrest. Denny Kellington was standing on the sideline, the athletic trainer of the Buffalo Bills. And he was the first person onto the field, and he administered CPR to Mr. Hamlin and has been credited with saving his life. That's why the athletic trainer was giving a commencement address to his alma mater. Not because he made a lot of money, not because he was famous, because I think we would say he was doing his job. By the way, I share that to say this to you. Denny's commencement address was 9 minutes long. He spoke for 9 minutes. They say it was informational. It was inspiring. It was memorable. You know what Denny talked about, or the title of his commencement address? Be ready. Be ready. What he said was, I went to Oklahoma State University, trained to be an athletic trainer. I went to Ohio State, was there for a while. Went to Syracuse, there for a while. I've been in Buffalo for a period of time now. And he said, I've spent my entire life training as an athletic trainer. And every time I go to a ball game, I go prepared for the worst, but hoping for the best. And on that night, it was the worst. But all of his training, he was ready, and he went and saved a young man's life. I think one of the things that Paul is saying to Timothy, Timothy, you better be ready. You better be. By the way, Timothy was trained by the best. He was trained by Paul. He went on missionary journeys with the Apostle Paul. He heard sermons that were preached by the Apostle Paul. He saw personal evangelism done by the Apostle Paul. He had seen it. He had been training. And now, though, here he is now. Paul is about to give up the ghost. He's about to end his life. And Paul is saying, I'm going to hand the baton to you, and it's your turn to run the race. And what I'm saying to you is, you better be ready. I guess today is it's a senior day. I'm going to say to young people, there are some of us, including myself, in this room today, we've been running this race for a long time. And I'm telling you, there does come a time, though, when you hand the baton off to somebody else and say, it's your turn to run the race. It's your turn to stand for Christ. It's your turn to preach the Word of God. It's your turn to do that which is right. And you need to always be ready. Be ready. Instant, in season, out of season. Rebuke, exhort with all long suffering. And by the way, I'll just close with this. If you've never given your life to Jesus Christ, you're not ready. You're just not ready. And I'm not just saying you're not ready to die. I'm saying you're not ready to live. That's why I say oftentimes from this pulpit, every day without Jesus is a wasted day. Do you know that? Every day without Jesus is a wasted day. So give your heart to Jesus today. And by the way, I'd say to every child of God in the room today, every day outside of the will of God in your life is a wasted day as well. You know what God wants you to do, whatever that might be? Do it. If it's something as simple as going through that baptistry, then just do it. If it's something as simple as coming and saying, I want today to become a member of this church so I can serve the Lord here, make this my home. Well, if that's what God wants you to do it, be ready. I'm going to tell you, there's a time coming, and it's already here, that Paul's talking about. So my dear friend, whatever God wants you to do to get ready, I pray that you'll do it today. Would you pray with me, please? Father, today, thank you for your word. Thank you for your presence in this room. God, I thank you for what you have already done in this service and speaking to people's hearts. Thank you, Lord, that we've been able to witness people who are following after you and doing your will. And God, I pray that right now during this time of invitation that we will see that again. I pray, God, that there will be people who will come down these aisles this morning, take a pastor by the hand and say, it's time for me to get ready. There's some people today that means they need to give their heart to Jesus Christ. Father, for others, I don't even know what it might mean. But you do, and they do. So, Lord, may we live today as though this is our last day. And God, may we approach this invitation this morning as though this may be the last one that we ever hear. And it very well may be. So, God, help us. Help us to get ready for what you want us to do, and then help us to do it. For it's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Would you join me in standing, please? Our pastors are in the altar today. There's something God wants you to do. God's spoken to your heart about something. I'm going to tell you the best answer, the only answer to Jesus is yes. So whatever he asks you to do, I'm going to ask you to do it right now. While